What's up, everybody? Welcome to WP Late Night episode number 10. Big number.
10. Big yeah. Birthday.
Mr. President, apparently.
Mr. President.
I'm your co-host, Ryan Immel, joined by Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Hey, guys.
Hey.
And we're also joined by a very special guest that no intro could do him justice. Otto, thanks for joining us tonight.
Not a problem. You'll have to excuse my voice. Barbecue Fest sort of took it away.
Hey, that is
probably a good reason.
If you lose your voice eating barbecue, you must have ate a lot of barbecue.
Some good ass barbecue. What I drank rather than the barbecue.
That makes more sense. So, can we get some clarification? Because I've heard Otto, I've heard Odo, and I swear every time I say it different. So, definitively, what is it? Otto or is it Odo or is it something completely different?
Otto, just like the bus driver on The Simpsons.
Otto, cool. Because I always feel like it's actually Odo, and I try to correct myself, and I want to say Otto, so it's good to hear that I actually was saying it correctly.
Yep, exactly like bus driver, just like the Germans would say it.
I don't struggle with the name so much, but I always struggle with how exactly to properly introduce you. Because there are so many, I mean, you know, autopress.com is probably where a lot of people know you from. Probably more often than not, right? That's probably where people recognize you from is your website.
Yeah, most likely.
But then there's also .org. There's also Audrey. There's also Simple Facebook and Twitter Connect. And then, of course, the beer making for anybody who's met you at a WordCamp, which is, I'll be honest, it could be half of our podcast tonight could just be talking about beer. And I know you'd be okay with that.
That's fine with me. I went and got something special just for this.
Ooh. Beer.
Well, let's start with that. What are you drinking?
I got the Magic Hat Circus Boy. It's a really quality Hefeweizen. And I love the Hefeweizen in the summertime.
And
always very good.
Sounds good. I've never had that before, but it sounds fantastic. What about you other guys?
Magic Hat. I have my one of my usuals, my Diet Duff over here.
Of course,
you want rum, a lot of rum and a splash of Diet Coke for color.
It's basically rum.
It's rum. Why am I kidding myself? It's all rum.
Can't go wrong with rum.
Mm-mm. What about you, Dre?
Well, to contrast Otto's deliciousness, I brought over some of the leftover water in a brown bottle, Bud Light.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, please have something cheap and domestic when you have like a beer connoisseur on the show.
Yep.
I think I can top you on that. In case this runs out, I also brought a backup.
PBR in the can. Now we're talking.
He did it. What a perfect way to spend our anniversary 10th episode of WP Late Night. Delicious.
Very, very appropriate. So, All right. Well, I forgot to say I am drinking whiskey tonight. Got my standby. And, yeah. Now, showtime, right? What do we want to talk about? Got a few things on the list, and all of them have something to do with Otto, so it's perfect. We actually didn't even plan this. It just seemed like all of the stuff worth talking about this week is stuff that has that you were involved with in some way.
And my favorite, the way to end the show is, well, how we started it. So this should be good. Beer. I'm digging it.
I like how one of our topics, we have six topics, one of them is just beer.
Beer. It's as valid as anything else.
Beer is always an acceptable discussion.
Indeed.
We should have, number one should have been beer, number six should have been beer, so we'll start and stop with beer.
So I, aside from beer, I really enjoyed the like full details that Matt posted to the WordPress news blog about the WordPress.org sort of plugin directory, I guess, redesign, not really redesign, just sort of a few new elements kind of added in and a few things changed. And if I understand it correctly, that was something that you guys worked on in the midst of Barbecue Fest, so it wasn't a total productivity loss.
No, it was more along the lines of towards the beginning of Barbecue Fest, because they were here for the whole week, and Barbecue Fest only starts really on Wednesday or Thursday. So for the first 3-4 days, me, Matt, Nason, and Scott Riley, we're here just sort of working on sort of a, that was our project for the week. We wanted to improve plugins and make things better.
And I think it's, I mean, we talked about some of the changes that we kind of just spot checked last week. On last week's show, we saw, I think, the favorites. That was something that I think it was sort of making the rounds before it was officially announced as people noticed it and stuff. And I don't know, did Brad and Dre, did you guys check out the rest of the updates?
Yes, and thank you is all I can say. Yeah. I think we've been pretty vocal about wanting to see some changes on the directory, mainly around the authors and seeing a little bit more prominent positioning. So now that they're in the sidebar, I'm happy. I mean, I can actually see who wrote a plugin without having to scroll down, 10 pages to find out who did it, which to me is important. Like, Otto, I trust everything you write. So if I see your name on the side, boom, done deal. That's a good plugin, if Dre wrote it, then I obviously don't trust it. So I'm going to go look for something a little bit better, but I'm just kidding, Dre.
Chances are cool. If I wrote it's already been removed from the repository.
No, I mean, it's cool to see some changes because I feel like, the last major change that I can remember, aside from some navigational things, was when the header got a little bit of a lighter color, like around 2 to 3.0, I think, to match the scheme of 3.0 itself. Other than that, I mean, I'm sure you know of some other things that have happened that maybe weren't as prominent, but it's cool to actually see .org get a little bit of attention.
We try to make sort of iterative changes. So, like, you may have noticed that all during the week, things went in sort of one at a time. First the favorites, then the authors. So a lot of small changes is the way we tend to go with that. I think before that, we had done little things, here and there. Like, we'll add new stuff to the book section. Or the top menu nav will change. Like, when we put in the mobile last year, and then when that became sort of a top-level item. And just little tiny fixes here and there, different feeds, whatever the moderators need. A lot of behind the scenes work.
Is there any kind of like, I guess I'm sure there's a private list, a task list or a wish list. Is there any kind of public list where people can kind of come and say, these are what we feel would be really good enhancements? And maybe they're minor stuff, maybe they're major stuff, but is there any way like any of us or any of our listeners could actually go there and say, this is what we really think would help .org?
Not as yet, although the ideas forum is what we're starting to troll a little bit more to try to find good ideas and see what's missing and things like that. Although the ideas forum is full of generally a lot of garbage. We're trying to clean that up, organize that a little bit. There's also the whole new system of make.wordpress.org, P2 blogs. A lot of those are more for discussion, really, about ideas and things like that. And they're all on specific topics, like themes is for the theme reviewers. We have a new one for plugins, for people that are wanting to talk about plugins. You can also, if you have something that's really good, just submit it on the core track. There's a component for WordPress.org site, and the core track, we sort of track some of those and read those as we go along, too.
You mentioned the ideas.
Go
ahead, Brad.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you mentioned the ideas blog. Is it really just kind of full of a lot of old stuff that, because every once in a while I'll run a search for something and land there with somebody from like 2008 recommending an idea that's been implemented for like 2 or 3 years. So is it just kind of a house cleaning thing?
It is full of a lot of old stuff. It's actually also full of a lot of spam because we just haven't taken care of it in a long time. Mm-hmm. I know some people do go through it and have been wanting us to do sort of a mass cleanup on it, and I've been looking at ways to do that, but we haven't quite got there yet. We're still working on it.
Just purge it all, start fresh.
Well, I know there was a run about probably a year ago where there was a ton of folks contributing to going in there and looking at old stuff and marking them so that they could be purged out, but it's probably a challenge to get behind that.
Yeah, it's a very manual process. I'm trying to go through and actually write some filters to just sort of eliminate the more obvious spam and maybe start running it through a Kismet or something to, filter out the crap.
Makes sense. And I think I've been officially blackballed here.
Nathan actually pointed out in the chat room that you can actually submit tickets through track4.org, which I forgot about. So that's actively, you guys are actually watching that. If someone were to submit a ticket, you'll actually see that.
Yeah, if you submit a ticket with that component, I think it actually emails me and a couple other people. But we do get informed.
I was just going to suggest everybody emails you directly, but that's probably the better route to go.
I'd rather you email Mason directly. That's more fun for me.
email Nason, you know, at reply, and he loves that stuff.
We might just need to make Nason's email the title of this episode. I don't know. Send any and all unorganized thoughts to this address. There's also what was it? Plugin stats. Otto, you'd mentioned on Twitter that they're just kind of broken. Are they still broken? Is that still kind of something up in the air?
The display of them is still broken. We're revamping the stat system over sort of a long period of time. And when we have the stats to the point where we're confident in them with some reliability, then mm-hmm. I'm going to change that. It's just an API change. We have the stats being recorded separately.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of changing the API, and then magically the graphs will show the right thing. Right now they're showing very old data, and it's going to be very wrong. I wouldn't recommend using it for anything. But that's only for the plugin stats. The actual download stats on plugins are separate, and those are accurate.
Okay. Gotcha. I think my favorite part of the updates to the plugin directory is the way that the plugin-specific support forms look now, particularly if somebody's using a header graphic for their plugin. It can just look really, really cool now.
That was actually all Nason's work. He did an amazing job on figuring out a way to sort of pull that together.
Nason doing something amazing? Yeah, right.
Never happens.
Don't believe it.
He did all of the favorites work. All of the favorites button, he did 100% of that. So yeah. There you go.
No, unbelievable improvements. I think it's heading the right direction for sure. I think there's always room for improvement. Iterative process, like you're saying, is probably the best approach. But I'm excited to see the changes that are coming through now. The author's piece totally kills it for me. I think it's awesome. The favorites, I think that's exciting to see where that goes in the future. I think it's very young now, but I think there's going to be a lot of value in that over time.
I agree.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit on the last show about how the favorites is definitely cool. And we're kind of going through and obviously favoriting our own plugins and other ones we like. And I've actually caught myself doing it quite a few times since it launched. Is there any plans going forward to make it easier to kind of share your favorites? Say, hey, here's my – or maybe even group them. Say, hey, here's my favorites when it comes to metadata, or here's my favorites when it comes to e-commerce or whatever it may be. Like, rather than just kind of this massive favorites list. I know it's obviously, you know, you're pushing up version one, but do you have some longer term goals or ideas around that feature?
My initial idea for the favorites list was a little different than I think everybody else is seeing it. I heard a lot from at various WordCamps about people talking about better ways to organize plugins, better ways to do things. The favorites list was sort of a starting point. Displaying it on the profiles is currently all we do with it. It's actually very easy for me to take that data and expose it in an API, which I've already actually written. I just haven't released yet because I'm still working on it. And what I would like to do for maybe WordPress 3.5, 3.6 is to submit a patch where on the plugins add new screen, you know, you've currently got those tabs, newest, featured, whatever. I'd like to see favorites right there. So you can click it and it will show you your favorites, maybe with checkboxes, and you can one-click install them all. That's what I want. I think that would be brilliant. I think a lot of people would really, really use that well. But obviously with an API to expose them, it would make a lot more sense for other people to then use that API for other things. You can pull it in for like a widget in your sidebar or, you know, just whatever, you know, you think you could be used for.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I think just knowing that data as a plugin author would be pretty useful. You know, how many people favorited my plugin, you know, versus maybe my competitor or other plugins in the air, you know, in the same realm. So it's definitely has tons of potential. And it's kind of neat just seeing people out there favoriting stuff, you know, and I definitely, as I hit the plugins that I know I use all the time, I'm in there clicking that favorite button.
I need to set aside like an afternoon, a block of time to just go and favorite a bunch of plugins. Because I feel like if I start doing it just as I'm on a plugin page, I'm not going to hit all of them. I have to, like, have a list and go through. Because there's easily, you know, I like a lot of plugins, is what I'm saying.
I went through and favorited, like, you know, 20 or 25 immediately. And those are the ones literally I use on every site, so...
Well, see, for me, pretty much every plugin I use is created by you. So I've just favorited everything you've created. It's kind of cool.
Well, fair enough. He's the resident suck up on the show. So.
Well, no, think about it. Well, I said it at the show the other day. We started talking about some of the changes, and as I noticed the favorites and the author positioning moving up, I'm sitting there going, well, shit, it's Otto's plugin. Awesome. Yeah, coincidence.
Very cool.
So what's next? Anything you can – or is there anything? I mean, obviously, you guys kind of got together and did a bit of a hackathon, it sounds like. But is there – did you set aside some long-term goals, or is that just kind of all, you know, going to wait till the next time when you guys get together to just kind of tear through some stuff?
Well, I mean, we work on minor things like this all the time. The thing we did – what we did over Barbecue Fest was basically just came up with a project that we wanted to do and sort of you know, worked on that. And the project was real general favorites. And Scott did an amazing job with the putting the authors in the sidebar and all the he's been doing the support stat stuff and the compatibility changes and all that. And Mason did the favorites, and I did sort of the back end for all the support plugin view forum thing. But we just, it was all around plugins. But we're working on the whole thing all the time. I work with the theme team a lot, making sort of, I tend to do more back end changes, really. So back-end changes to help the theme reviewers out, working on the theme check plugin. Somebody sent me some stuff for the blogger importer, and I'm looking at the Tumblr importer again. Me, Mason, and Scott, you know, us and Audrey, we kind of work on everything at some point. So it's just a matter of picking your moment, because every week it's a new thing.
Maybe get those, you know, those books back on the homepage, stuff like that.
Right. Things like that. Actually, we're looking at the homepage for something completely different now. I'm not sure what yet, but we're looking at it. All so right. in the future, that might change a whole lot.
Yeah, because the overall homepage layout itself hasn't really changed in a long time. I mean, little changes here and there, but not as a major redesign, for sure.
Well, we've been thinking a lot about the profiles and how to expose more of the community, what people are doing, showing off how they're doing that. Maybe integrating that with the homepage somehow. Haven't quite got it, you know, sort of ideas out yet, but it's some ideas.
Sounds like you're making a lot more work for you and Nason, as Nason's in the chat room telling you to be quiet.
We're only two, man. It's just a lot of ideas. I can't guarantee anything will happen at any given point in time, but I do like we throw ideas back and forth all the time and just, you know, see what sticks kind of thing.
In addition to you and Nason, Scott Riley just joined Audrey Capital in the past couple weeks, didn't he?
Yes. Scott's been doing a lot of work with the plugin reviewers and the new stat system we're implementing and things like that.
Which people probably recognize Scott via his moniker Coffee to Code. And speaking of plugins, he has a crazy amount of plugins as well.
Oh, yeah.
I know I use a handful of them, but I'll have to drop a link to all of his plugins in the show notes. But that's cool. That's you at Audrey, you have you and Nason developing, and then the sort of accountant Rose, right? And now Scott makes three developers. And obviously, Matt.
I'll tell her you called her an accountant.
What should I call her?
I would call her an accelerant.
An accelerant? Oh, see, I never would have started off with that.
I go with that. That's like what she prefers.
That's what she... All right. In any case, it's great to see the team that can work on .org at any given time getting larger, and it's obviously making a difference because that was a lot of updates to push through in the last couple weeks, so kudos.
So
Brad, you actually mentioned this to Dre and I earlier today. The WordCamp NYC schedule went up.
New York,
which you're speaking at, and they put you in the morning, which means they're crazy.
They're crazy. They actually think I'm gonna be there at 9:30. They're nuts.
It'll never happen.
They've never been to a WordCamp with me. I'm lucky if I show up by lunch, and I'm still like, you know, a couple octaves lower when I talk. No, I'm kidding. It's obviously there's a lot of speakers because they announced all the speakers a few weeks back. And if you look at the speakers list, it's pretty massive.
Well, a lot of speakers is a lot of, like, tracks.
Yeah, exactly. So, but nobody really knew what the tracks were when they announced the speakers. They just announced the speakers in the session. So now the tracks are up. And it, as long as my math's correct, and I think it is, mm-hmm. I think I can count this high, there's 13 tracks, which is, I've never heard of a WordCamp with that many tracks. I can't remember one that had that many. Even past New York ones that were just as big didn't have that many tracks. It's massive.
No kidding.
It's almost too hard to digest. You're looking at so many tracks and so many different topics. It's like, how do you decide what you want to go to, you know?
Is it the, it's got to be at a killer venue to have that many rooms available, to just have that many running, just, you know, logistically at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's at Baruch College again, which I believe is the place they had it. So they didn't have it last year. And the year prior, I wasn't able to make it. But the year before that, I believe, was at Baruch College. And it was four or five different levels where the rooms were at. And there were, I want to say around 800 or 900 people had purchased tickets. So there was probably close to that many there. What was interesting is the venue was so tall and spread out. At no point did you ever feel like there were 800 or 900 people there, because there was never like one big centralized, like, you know, room where everybody got together and you kind of saw the size of the entire event. You know, it was always these smaller classrooms, so you never really got the whole picture of how big it was. But I mean, this is massive. I don't know what their space limitations are. They haven't really said. I know tickets are on sale. They're still on sale now. I mean, but just going through the list of speakers and topics, it's literally a who's who of, you know, WordPress people. I mean, there's so many people speaking, on awesome topics that I know and have heard and seen before. And there's so many people speaking on great topics that I don't know. So I'm anxious to meet a lot of these people, which is always the fun part, you know, meeting new people that you haven't met before. I mean, so it looks to be a killer event. I'm up at 9:30 a.m. That's going to be a challenge, whether I, you know, big decision. Do I sleep the night before or not? Figure that out the night before.
You know, answer is always no.
Not when you're on at 9:30.
What's
pretty cool. Are you guys, now I know, Dre, you have an engagement that weekend, so you won't be able to make it, but you are going to be at Blog World the week before. Are Ryan or Otto, you guys going to New York?
I will not be there.
I'm pretty sure I'm not going.
Wow, what a bunch of party poopers.
Sorry.
Spoiled that for you. Brad, what are you speaking on?
Hey. Oh, wait.
There you go.
Where are my sound effects when I need them? I always have my finger on Debbie Downer when I'm with Ryan.
Oh, I'm surprised it took us 24 and a half minutes to get to your sound effects.
Yeah, no. I'm actually speaking on WordPress security, which I haven't done. I haven't done a security presentation in a while. Actually, I think the last one I did was the beginning of last year with Dre at Phoenix. And prior to that, it had still been like 6 months, because I did it like four or five times in a row, and I was kind of getting labeled like Mr. Security, and I didn't want to have this kind of single tag, so I branched out a little bit. But I'll be doing the ever-popular WordPress security presentation, which is always a fun one. It's one that needs to be at every event. It's one that everyone needs to sit on at least. You know, I tell people, you know, if you go to a lot of WordCamps, sit in on that one at least once a year. You know, it never hurts to get refreshed on security. You know, there's always new things and new practices you can do to kind of lock down your website. So don't feel like you go to it once and you're good for 10 years. Like, you know, go to it once a year, but obviously you don't have to go to every other week if you go to a lot of WordCamps. So it'll be a fun time.
However, I think that anybody given that presentation should have some knowledge in the area, and they need to be very careful as to what they're putting out. The discussions that I've given over the last couple years, I've had folks like Nathan and Brad Williams and stuff work with a lot of those discussion points to make sure that we're not putting out some gobbledygook. We said it again, Ryan.
That's a good one. We might have an episode title this time.
I've been in presentations with watching people, because it's always fun to watch people give a presentation that you've given or you plan on giving, just to kind of see how they do it. Everybody does it differently. It's kind of, you know, it's a good way to learn.
Sure.
I've sat in security presentations that weren't that good, that were giving bad advice. I sat in one where Nathan straight called the guy out, you know, like, no, you don't need to do that. Like, so that's a huge point. Like, I think it's one of those topics that, you know, whoever's giving it, I think really needs to know what the hell they're talking about. You know, so they need to be vetted a little bit more than maybe some of the other topics. Not all of them. I mean, there are definitely some other topics that need to be vetted too, but you know, if people are giving bad security advice, I mean, that could be really, really harmful to your website. So it's important that the person giving that information is, you know, they know what they're talking about.
And they have to like good beer.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. That might end up hampering Brad's abilities in the morning. Just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be fun. I'm a trooper, man. I'll get through it. Doesn't mean I'll be there until the end of the day, but I'll be there at 9:30.
Speaking of WordPress-related events, I received my Pressnomics invite for later this year. Any of you guys get the same, or are you planning on going to the event?
Yep, I got mine, I think, last week sometime. And I think we've all got them sitting right
there.
We're
all, like, holding our
What's
golden
the odds?
Ticket on the camera.
Yeah.
We need to sing, I got a golden ticket.
Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka. Oh, man.
That's how the song goes, I think, Dre.
Yeah, exactly like that. Well, you heard the chat room in there. They're saying today's title is a chorus of Dre. Dre, Dre.
If one Dre is good, just imagine multiple Dre.
I think, you know, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, we had Josh on a couple shows ago, and he was telling us about how he's going to send these invites out. But I was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, I'll see it when, you know, hopefully I get one. And I got one. And it's kind of neat that it does give it that, you know, that special feel to it, because it's a really nice invite. You know, it's obviously a lot of thought's been put into it. There's a, you know, I'm number 13 of 72, you know, so it's limited. You know, you know they're not sending out 1,000 of these things. So it does have a bit of a, you know, I don't know, some prestige around it, I guess. It's kind of neat. So I'm excited. I'm definitely planning on going, and I can't wait, because I haven't been to Phoenix. I wasn't able to make WordCamp Phoenix this year, but I went last year, and it was pretty amazing. So I'm excited to get back there.
Otto, it looks like from the chat that your invite is in the mail.
No, it's not. It's right here.
It's in his hand.
I see. I missed that. Okay. I was about to say, because it was Strebel. I'm just watching the chat. I guess I didn't see the video. But I was going to accuse Strebel of saying, you know, usually when you say the invite's in the mail, that's just the way of softening the blow of, yeah, you're not going to get an invite.
Man, not only did Otto get one, he got it overnighted, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, and delivered. I don't know about all that. I live in Memphis. I'm a FedEx. Everything is overnight here.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's nice.
You got served papers.
Hey, are you sucker, Otto? You've been served.
Here's your Pressnomics invite.
If I order from Amazon in the morning, it's here by the evening.
I like it.
Can't beat that.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. So is everybody going then? I mean, Ryan, you're going?
I'm definitely going. Yep.
Ray, you're going. Otto, are you going?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure yet. I haven't decided.
All right. Wait.
No, no idea. Not sure. I'm thinking about it.
Come on, man. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's a bit of a haul if you're not out already on the West Coast. So
it's not even that. I'm just not sure. I don't plan that far in advance, generally. So maybe.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
True. It is tough planning. I have my ticket, but it's literally like roughly two to 3 weeks from where we're looking at doing the Philly WordPress event this year. So it's kind of like I want to go, but if for some reason we get pushed back a week or two, there's just no way I'm going to be able to go back-to-back weekends. But as of right now, my plan is to go. And I have my ticket.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that doesn't plan that far in advance. I feel like every couple of shows we're talking about, you know, WordCamps that we intend to go to. And I'm always looking at a calendar whenever we get into it, because I'm like, man, I don't know. What's happening 3 weeks from now? Because I'm not sure.
I'm going to get on StubHub here and see if anyone actually put their ticket up for sale. If we see your ticket on there, we're going to know what number it is. Pressnomic. Do you want to sit in?
That's pretty awesome.
No, yeah, really funny. I'm going to so many word camps this summer. I don't know what my burnout factor is going to be. So, you know, you have to sort of figure that out.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
I would go to WordCamp every weekend, but I went a couple years ago. I went to 3 WordCamps in 6 weeks, so it was like every other weekend. I felt like I was half dead. It's like, I mean, I really felt my age after doing that. Like, I just can't keep. I can't do this. It's just between that and also, you know, running a business and just keeping up on my work, and I mean, it killed me. So I learned from that. No more than like 2 within, you know, relative close time. And then there needs to be a month or two gap before I do another one, you know.
San Diego to Chicago to San Francisco last year in 4 weeks. And there's no way. There's no way. That was painful. I was asking Brad if I can, you know, borrow parts of his liver. And you know where that leads.
That's probably hurting you more than it's helping you.
I know for a fact that me and Ryan got that beat last year at three word camps in three different weekends consecutively.
That's true.
Dirty.
Even though this is the first time you've given me credit for actually attending and not just following you around to the events. So I appreciate that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes when the camps line up just right, it's tempting. Can't let it go.
Always tempting, especially, you know, we're all friends with a lot of people in the community. So especially when it's someone you know really well that's organizing or, you know, involved in a big way, it's like you want to go and support them. But it's just, it can be tough doing a bunch back to back. I don't know how Matt did it a few years ago because he went to, I don't even know how many, like probably 40 word camps in a year or something. It was ridiculous. He was at one like every weekend. And now I know he's probably not out getting crazy like every night like we tend to do because we obviously weren't going to as many. But even just going to them is can wear you out, you know. So I don't know how he did it.
I have no idea how he travels as much as he does. No idea. I couldn't do it. I
guess you either have it or you don't, you know.
Yeah.
Has he changed his Twitter profile where it says something, where are you at, and it says on a plane or something?
Oh, like his location?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it still says it. On a plane.
Probably. Any given day. It's a 1 in 3 chance.
It's crazy.
Speaking of camps, I've been having fun lately kind of popping in at meetups around the Midwest area, just a sort of fun change of pace, which is a little bit weird because when you're trying to, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of meetups use meetup.com. And so if you're trying to look up information about that, like on a way to an event to like let them know that you're coming, it won't actually let you search for an event if it's not within 100 miles of your location.
Perfect.
So that, I think that's like a good indicator that you're kind of going to a meetup as a crazy person when it's like meetup.com says, no, this is not an event that's even in your, you should not be there. Basically.
You are not allowed.
Yeah. You're nuts.
It's
kind of fun. It's a mini camp.
It's only restricted to location-based searches though. Cause I know I search and I find WordCamp Nashville on mine all the time.
Yeah. I think the default search of their mobile view, like, restricts you to only max of 100 miles in your given area. So it was only an issue with, you know, I ended up just Google searching to find it.
I just picture Ryan, like, walking into some random meetup, and they don't always come in. They're just like, oh, my God, it's WP Candy. And the girls are just, like, fainting, and the guys are trying to grab his autograph and buy him a drink. Is that how it goes down, or is it a little different?
No, that's not how it goes down at all, Brad. That's super weird. No, actually, that would be pretty.
A couple more whiskeys, that story may change.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think there'd be a lot more people starting up blogs about WordPress if that was the case.
Man, you come out to the Philly meetup. We got an awesome group out here. We're about to hit 700. It's an amazing group. We're getting, you know, 50, 60, 70 people out at the meetups. It's awesome. It's just a great time.
That's like a small word camp. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's like, I've mentioned on the show before, once you go from having, you know, 10, 20, 30 people up to like 50, 60, 70, it really opens the door on what you can do. Because you can do a lot more kind of smaller, you know, take all those 60, 70 people and break off into smaller groups. You know, have a design, you know, table over here, have a dev table over there. Talk about what you want to talk about. It just really opens the door to doing some different things versus just having like a presentation or whatever. So it's really fun.
I can dig it.
And I'm sure that it's only a matter of time before that group is worth splitting up into two different groups.
So I will need pointers because on the horizon in the near future, if all goes well, we'll be starting a new meetup group in the Inland Empire, which is just north of San Diego. And I will have to reach back to all of you experienced folks in starting something from like that from scratch.
Might need to we'll have to grab some of these killer meetup or except for Brad, because I mean everybody's tired of hearing from him on this show, but we'll have to gather some other ones for a roundtable episode and chat about.
Oh, that's fun. There's a lot of really good organizers out there, and I mean I always run into a bunch of them at WordCamps, obviously. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's fun picking each other's brain, though. Like, you know, what are you doing? What works? What doesn't work? What have you done? You know, like, you learn a lot doing this stuff. So it's always fun to kind of share. Same thing of, like, you know, WordCamp organizers. I mean, Dre and I have gone back and forth a lot. Whenever his event's coming up, he's always pinging me with questions. When my event's coming up, I'm pinging him with questions. You know, it's the same thing. Like, reach out to the people who have done it successfully and learn what you can from them. I mean, I think that's just true with anything in life, you know?
Yeah, I'd say so. I would like our meetup groups here in Memphis to be a lot bigger. So far, it's been limited to maybe 10, 20 people generally. I think it's going to get a lot bigger because we had a meetup last week with you know, Matt and Mason and Scott and them, and a whole lot more people showed up. That was quite entertaining. And a fair number of those people kept saying, hey, we didn't even know y'all had a WordPress meetup group here. So
it's hard.
I guess meetup may not be the best way. Meetup.com, I'm thinking, may not be the best way to sort of advertise that group.
But, it's not. But the usability, I think that the functionality is there, and it works.
It's clearly great for organizing it, but I think we're going to have to try to start advertising in the local area a little better.
Absolutely.
And see if we can get it as big as the D.C. meetup or something, which they tell me is like 100 people every week, you know. Or every month.
Hmm. Yeah, I know for here in Fort Wayne, we have the meetup site, but we're also like have something on Facebook. We have our own website, stuff on Twitter, a mailing list. I mean, just trying to cover all the bases where people might be looking for that information, because it is, you know, you're always going to miss people, I guess. They're just trying to mitigate.
Who's gonna build a meetup plugin? I mean, we need to delegate some tasks out this episode, so maybe
some assignments.
Know. I don't think Otto and Nathan have enough to do, so maybe you guys can whip up a quick meetup plugin and we can review it on the next show.
maybe we should just build it right into WordPress.org.
There you go.
We should do it right now on the show.
Yeah. Standby chat room.
Yeah,
while we
hang out with that, yeah.
I think it'd be a huge hit. Like, obviously it needs to be done right, but I think if it was something that was more centralized, it had a lot of the features that Meetup have. You know, the Meetup has some really great notification features, email, you know, reminders. Things like that make it super useful, really hands-off if you ever worked with it. The only drawback is you have to pay, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. Like, you have to pay monthly to have an account on Meetup. So, that, you know, there is, just to start a Meetup group, there's a bit of an investment. It's not a ton of money, but I want to say it's 70 or 80 bucks. I could be wrong on that. I was thinking for 6 months, but I feel like it might be higher than that. I can't remember exactly what it costs now.
I don't know the details specifically, but I believe the WordPress Foundation is now paying for WordPress meetup groups monthly payments. If you're approved somehow. I don't know exactly how that dues thing works. I know Jane was working on that, so they're working with meetup.com about it. But I don't know the details. So you'd have to ask Jane or any of the foundation people.
And I know that there was discussion around. I did hear that, Otto, at some point. I've also heard about further governance around the meetup groups. You know, we've seen a lot of challenges in San Diego with that. There's two groups. One of them's got over 500 members. The challenge there is that maybe the organizers aren't running it to WordPress standards as best as they could. And there may be a hidden agenda there. And I think that we've seen that. At least in a lot of the discussions I've had with other meetup organizers and WordCamp organizers, that there's problems there. So they're looking at some type of governance around that at some point.
I don't know exactly what the deal is. Again, I'm not privy to that information. I just know that I heard that. I don't think they've actually started paying for it yet. I think they were working on getting the groups together and organizing somehow. And I don't know the details, but I know that they're soon going to be. They've worked out some kind of deal with Meetup.com to sponsor them. I think for at least a couple of years. Don't know the details.
Well, and I think that's exciting. We'll see what happens when or if that comes down the pike at any point. But I think it's probably a bit bigger than that to ensure that these meetup groups are maybe empowering users without having some alternate agenda in terms of, let's say, marketing or ads and that type of stuff, which I know I've seen it face to face over the last couple of years.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that helps. I mean, it would be neat to have a meetup show or a roundtable would probably be more appropriate, Ryan, because there's a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of groups that charge. You know, we charge about half of the meetups we charge. It's nominal, $5. But Everyone I talked to, and we've seen it day in and day out, if you charge $5, you get like about an 85-90% show up rate. And if it's free, it's about 50%. It's ridiculous, the difference. So if you have limited space in a big city, a lot of times you almost have to, because so many people will kind of RSVP and hold a seat and then not show up, you know. But if people pay $5, they will be there, you know, rain or shine. They paid $5, they're showing up, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, we take that, we give it back in the form of like food and pizza, and then we'll build up funds over time and donate some to charity and stuff. But it's, you know, it's a lot of things to think about, especially like in larger cities, because there are, you know, there are additional costs you have to consider.
You want people to show up, use that $5 to cover the cost of the keg.
Hey, now we're talking. Now we're talking. PBR, right?
Good beer.
Oh, no, good local microbrew. That's what you got to do. Can't be going PBR now.
Yeah. That just means you're hoarding the money if you're getting a keg of PBR.
Not if there's anything wrong with PBR, but you can't charge $5 and give them PBR. That's just not going to fly.
Well, that's not one keg. That's maybe three or four.
Exactly.
And at that point, you know, how big is your meetup and how long are they sticking around?
Because it's not a meetup, that's a kegger.
Yeah.
Yeah. What time's the bonfire, dude?
Pick your plastic cup up at the door.
You have a long term engagement.
You're
at
in
that
the back.
Point. Yeah. You're creating a new home.
Back cornhole on the side.
So Code Poet relaunched in the last week. In the past it's been automatic sort of professional directory of those taking on WordPress projects. I think the consultant like pricing cutoff is like $10,000 or something along those lines. So those doing, I guess the kind of work that would draw in larger contracts, larger projects, for a while, that's, I mean, really since its existence, that's been the whole point of CodePoet.com. And then just over the weekend, they relaunched it, the sort of a new kind of team at Automatic worked on a new site for a while. It's at build.codepoet.com, which actually I think it just redirects from CodePoet to Build. And it's sort of a resource site for anybody doing any sort of building or work with WordPress. It's kind of cool. Did you guys play around with it at all once the announcement went up?
A little bit. I think it's a great starting point. I think that the content and stuff that's in there already is going to, read the stuff online. You're seeing some pretty awesome comments around it, and I think it's something that's been well needed for quite a while. And again, great starting point. I think that it's going to mature, and a lot of great things will come from it, and a lot of people are going to learn a lot of stuff that's relevant to what they're doing.
I immediately went to the quiz to see how dumb
that's what I was
going to
ask. Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, a quiz! Like I could do this." And then I realized it's like one of those trivia's. Like the faster you answer, the more points you get. Which I'm usually horrible at because I like to kind of digest the question and not just quickly answer. It's like the trivia at a bar. You know, if you answer like within a second, you get all the full points. I see Ryan, me, and so you are in the same bucket here.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Is what'd you score? Because
oh, I was looking
because
at,
that's
looking
going.
At
it. That's going to
I think you beat
determine
me, but
your worth.
They've changed
oh, really?
It up.
Oh, see, now
they
I
changed it up
to
where it's a bucket. So if you're between 700 and 779, you're in this club, you know, that club. And me and you are both in there.
So we're in the club, but I'm still kind of just a notch above you in the club. That's the important part.
I mean, if that's how you want to look at it. But you know what? It doesn't say on here. And I don't remember what I scored, so I'm just going to assume that I beat you.
Okay, fair enough.
Or maybe it's ranked by how well you did. That's pretty good.
And I don't see Dre and Otto on here, so I don't know what you guys are doing, but
I hadn't seen the quiz.
I would hope
yet.
Otto,
I think you need to take the quiz right now.
I'm going there. Yeah.
Now,
take it live.
And the reason so there's a couple reasons that I said that the quiz was fundamentally flawed in my post. And of course I was joking, but it's totally fundamentally flawed. And they may have changed some of the questions now, but the one that tripped me up, and it may have done the same to you, Brad, I don't know if you remember when taking it, there was a question in there.
About.
There was a statistical question about WordPress.com in there. And I was just like, okay. Like, I mean, because, you know, it's like, oh, it's
actually
like,
guessed and I got it right, but I was like, I have no idea. I just
that was
totally
a cheap,
guessed. I was like,
yeah.
I have no idea.
That was the cheap guess. Because it was like, you know, 250 million, 350 million, 450 million. I was like, you know what? This is a cheap question. Because unless you know that, anyway. So aside from that, I think the questions were, it was a fun mix of the kind of stuff that, you know, you kind of have to, sure, kind of grind into clients' minds all the time. And some of the stuff where a couple of them I had to think another second, where it's like, oh, well, that's, well, let me think, you know, to make sure that I didn't mess up on something easy.
This thing is timed. Yeah, I'm gonna wait to take it till later.
You don't want to mess up your score.
I don't want to get it wrong.
I'm gonna go back and look. I'll be looking tomorrow and see how you score.
Because if I get it wrong, I'll never hear the end of it from Nason.
Yeah, what happens if you miss the practice question?
I know.
Oh, I got the practice one. That was the problem. But yeah.
Oh boy. I think the top group of people.
There's some big names up there.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that maybe I missed navigating the site, because now this is a relaunch, obviously a different kind of direction. I'm going to use that favorite word of everybody's. They pivoted a little bit. Mm. But previously, there was a directory of different WordPress service providers, and it's not easily findable. You know, I had a problem finding that going to the site. Maybe I missed it just looking through briefly. But there was an email that came out from, I forget the young lady's name, Rebecca, maybe. It's running a lot of the stuff for the Code Poet relaunch. Or at least some of the marketing behind it, that they've actually moved that, and there's some redirects over at directory.codepoet.com. So you still see a lot of the service providers and stuff that had been accepted to the Code Poet directory in the past. They're on that subdomain now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they link it up in the footer, the Code Poet directory. And so we'll see, you know, over time. I think it'll be interesting to see how the two sides of Code Poet might interact more, you know, because there's the way that it came across, you know, reading about it and kind of hearing from the folks at Automattic about what their thinking is for it, it seems pretty clear that build.codepoet.com is sort of an attempt to reach the other half of the freelancer or developer community, or not even really developer community. It's more the builders, sure. You know, the people that aren't, necessarily doing, you know, huge client projects and building complex sites, but maybe they're just getting started, or maybe they need some help or some resources, or maybe people that aren't even using WordPress right now. One of the things that I thought were most interesting is the two ebooks that they're releasing, which I was intrigued by when I heard about it, and they look great, and they're free. I'll link them up in the notes or whatever if you haven't checked them out yet, chat room. It's worth it. One is on getting your pricing right as a freelancer, as a consultant, and the other one is on responsive design. So neither is directly about WordPress, but they both, you know, are sort of on the periphery, sort of around. They're parallel to WordPress, I guess, and could also bring people. But as somebody who does a lot of independent publishing, I'm excited just to see somebody publish an ebook that isn't like douchey. Like to publish an ebook and make it kind of cool. You know what I mean?
There's a quote from the site. Ebooks that aren't douchey.
No, but come on. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's if you go on, like, am I alone with that?
Hey, Brad, man, your timing is just horrible. We need a pew, pew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the douchey sound?
It is today.
That's a little bit better.
No, totally on the same page.
At the point when releasing an ebook is little more than you know, basically putting together a PDF and uploading it, I think it's nice to see sure. folks making like really well designed products that are actually free products and then releasing them. So that was cool. I thought that's my personal favorite part of it, but you know, to each their own.
I think the interviews part's pretty neat too. I'd love to see some, you know, different perspectives, right? In the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of discussion around, you know, not just contributing to Core, but, you know, how else are you contributing to WordPress? And I'd love to see some interviews from those different directions, right? I work with XYZ WordCamp, or, you know, I'm a designer, or I do this and that. How do you give back, and what is it that you're doing from a freelance perspective or a service provider, and how are you giving back to the community? I think those are areas that would be really neat to see there.
Yeah, this is cool. I mean, it's one of those things. I think we're all excited to see how it grows. Like you said, they have books, they have a couple cool interviews on there, resources, the quiz is fun. You know, it's tough to gauge where this is going to go because it's so new, and they, you know, they have whatever they launch with is what's on there now. So I'll be anxious to see how often they add content, you know, who's writing the content, who's coming up with the stuff. I mean, I'd love to contribute some stuff too. I think it's pretty neat. I mean, it's, you know, going back to the directory, you know, they switched up the directory and how it works. I don't know, it's been a while, 6 months, yeah. maybe longer. Honestly, ever since they kind of switched it up, and I've talked to a lot of the people that were in the directory, it's kind of sunk the amount of contacts that come through this. I don't know why. I haven't really done any research on why that is, but I've talked to a lot of people who used to get a lot of traffic off the directory, and now it's kind of dwindled to just about nothing.
Just in the last we've seen few it days?
Too. No, just since they redid CodePoet the initial time.
Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry.
I don't know why that is, but I think it's not as strong of a resource, it's not as strong of a lead resource for companies as it once used to be, at least from the people I've talked to and our personal experience. So, you know, moving it off in its own subdomain, I don't think that's really going to have an impact on those contacts that are coming through to people that are looking for developers. Honestly, and most people that go through that, you can tell they found you on CodePoet because they blind carbon copy you and send you a very generic email with an RFP, and you can tell they just blasted it out to like 50 people. It's very obvious when they do that, and they do that a lot. And I'll message like John Hawkins, or I'll message, you know, or Dre still gets stuff through Cubic 2 or whoever. And they're like, hey, did you just get this one? He's like, yep. I'm like, all right, figured. I'm not responding. It's like, I don't have time for the robo emailers.
I got to pause for a second. You know, Otto's already down to his Pabst Blue Ribbon, so this must have went hell really quick.
That kind of show.
I didn't want to get up and go to the fridge and get the good
dude. He's not even opening. Sorry. He popped the hole in the bottom and shotgunned the hell out of it. This is brilliant.
That's what we need. Someone that just pounds it. Like, this is cool. I mean, has anyone here been contacted about submitting stuff, or is it more of a just submit it and see what happens? I mean, they have a contact form. It looks like you can submit if you have something you want to share. So I'm curious what that process is, if anyone's heard it, because I haven't heard what it is short of just filling out the contact form.
Yeah, well, I haven't, but if I had to guess, I bet that the team would be pretty receptive to any folks who want to write something up.
I like it. I mean, there really aren't any great resources, like I should say one dedicated resources to just this, like people that make things with WordPress. Whether you're a designer, developer, whatever, like, I mean, the ebook, getting the price right. I mean, that's a huge topic. Like, you know, being in the industry and running a business for a few years now, that's one of the most, you know, I get that question all the time. You know, how much should I charge to build multi-site website? How much should I charge to do BuddyPress? How much should I just charge to do a WordPress site? And it's not just a, you know, one sentence answer, obviously. There's a lot of variables involved. So just, you know, stuff like that that's out there for the public to kind of consume. Especially I think people getting into the business are going to get way more out of it than people that have been in for a while, at least for that particular book. There's certainly other things on this site to learn if you've been in it for a while, but they're going to really get a lot out of this. And so I'm anxious to see what else comes of this site. It's nice to see a single resource rather than trying to bury something like this in, you know, on .org. No offense, Otto, but there's a lot going on there. So I think if this was on .org, it might get a little bit lost.
I agree. I mean, .org for the most part is all about, other than like the commercial themes page and a couple of pages where we point to hosting, everything on .org is free. I'm not necessarily sure that free advice about how to sell yourself is necessarily under our scope. Or how to be a web developer, you know, for pay, freelancer. Not really a WordPress oriented thing. It's more of a generic how do I do business thing. And how do I sell my code for money? How do I sell my services for money? Is sort of outside the scope of what should be on WordPress.org. So I think it's a great thing that they're starting up CodePoet and sort of putting that information in a centralized place, and especially bringing it back, tying it back to WordPress in specific. Because people always ask, like you said, how much should I pay for a WordPress site, or how much should I charge to make a WordPress site? That's pretty much the same question as, how much should I charge somebody to make a website? How you do it doesn't really matter a whole lot, you know. So I think that's just a good place to put that kind of resources.
My favorite answer to that question is when someone asks how much should I charge to build a WordPress website is how much should I charge to build a house? Well, I don't know. What do you want in your house? What do you want on your house? What do you want around your house? Like it's the exact same question. Like, how could I give you an answer to that? You know, just a straight one answer.
All that's a lot of variables.
A bazillion dollars.
So, well, it's a super complicated question, you know, because there are so many different variables that come into play.
It's not only the variables, but how experienced are you? Do you know what you're doing? Do you not know what you're doing? You know, if you don't know what you're doing, you can't really charge someone to for you to figure out what you're doing, you know, but people do. You know, another interesting point to this that maybe has gone a little unnoticed is that, you know, the directories under with the companies is under directory.codepoet. This is under build.codepoet, which makes me wonder, will there be other, you know, sections of CodePoet in the future? You know, why would they launch this under a subdomain if they don't have intentions or plans to do some other kind of areas around CodePoet in the future? Hmm. Just speculating.
Sure.
Just thinking here. But
I speculated the same direction when I read the email today around the directory moving and so on. And you're right. It's build. So who knows?
Subdomains are fun.
Subdomains are the easiest way to organize that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I want to see poets. Using, I want to see, you know, WordPress, people in the community in WordPress writing and reading poetry around WordPress. That's what I want to see.
So that you're saying that should be the next subdomain of CodePoet is literally poetry written by the code poets of WordPress.
Haiku.codepoet.com.
I like it.
There's a lot of haikus. I mean, every version now that comes out has a haiku with it. So it almost feel like it should be read by someone in the community, the haiku, you know, the haiku.
Nice. Video haikus.
So each poem is read by the person, by the next person posting a poem. So you read the person before each poem.
You know what? Forget that. We need to get Christopher Walken in here and he can read everyone. Or maybe him and Morgan Freeman can go back and forth and just read those.
Actually, I'm thinking limerick.codepoem.com would be better for that.
Hmm. I like all of these ideas.
Dirty joke.
Lyricalpoet.codepoet.
I like Ryan McHugh in the chat.
Where's our top 10 list? Top 10 reasons, you know, top 10 additional websites that should be under CodePoet.
He said he got a 715 on the CodePoet quiz, but he thinks a couple of the questions are wrong, which I think is great. I think he's gonna, the more people take that quiz, the more bickering there will be about how many like wrong questions there were. Like once you get up into the 700 to 800 range on those scores, oh yeah, it's going to be a lot of bitter people.
You know, I got everyone right, and I thought I answered them relatively quickly, and I still didn't get the top club. Like, I don't know what I could have done better. I guess if I could have shaved a few seconds off, I would have done better. But man, like to get in that top level, you gotta know the answer and click it probably within like a second to a second and a half to get those full points.
Hmm.
Bastards.
I'm going to score like a 12.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, what's
you really should. You should be in the what's the worst thing bracket? Less than 200. Dre Armada, the only one in it.
Yeah. They won't even, yeah.
The only one in it, Otto.
Yeah, sir, we can't even post your Gravatar because you suck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you wanted to protect yourself, you can technically sign up and take the test, like, not using, like, you don't have to connect it to CodePoet. You know, it's after you take the quiz that you actually connect your I think it's, what is it, learn, what is it, where is it at? Smarterer.com. So only after you take the test, you actually kind of connect your two accounts together. So technically, you could create another account and do a test run, but I think that's kind of cheating.
That'd be pretty much cheating.
Yeah, I think that'd be the definition of cheating. So... tips. This is where we usually give it. We don't have a top 10, like you said, Brad, which, you know, everybody listening, you're welcome. But we do usually, there you go.
Ryan hates every idea.
No, I'm, for the right idea, top 10 works out perfectly. So this is where we usually give out some tips, WordPress related or otherwise. I have one actually that I'm excited to talk about because I just found it this morning, but I need to pull up the link. Hold on. I don't prepare, so that's always a thing. But it is a plugin, and it's really cool. But it's hosted on GitHub, so I have to like do some extra searching to find it.
Tip A.
And I know, see, as I say that I don't prepare, Brad, I know you didn't. Because you never, every time we get to this part of the show, you act like we've never done it before. You're like, oh.
Ever. I have no idea what to say. I can usually come up with a plug-in or something, but I try to think of something a little bit better than that.
Oh, what's better than a good plug-in? Are you asking the chat room for tips? I don't think that's allowed. I think that's supposed to be providing it to them.
He said,
why don't you just get to your tip there, buddy?
I will. It is called, as I scroll down, Better Internal Link Search. So now I can search for that on GitHub. And what I like about it...
You're really prepared, I can tell.
Well, I had to find the name of it, then I found the thing, then the other thing, and then I link it up. There you go. So Better Internal Link Search is cool because, well, first of all, there aren't a whole lot of plugins that tweak stuff about internal linking that I've found. It's actually a really hard thing to search for if you're interested in tweaking things about it. But what I like about this little plugin is it restricts the search, because by default, WordPress searches the title and the content of the post for the links that you might be looking for, you know, when you're searching for something to drop in. And I do this a lot, like all the time. So this plugin restricts it to just the titles and not the content, which works out really well for me because half the time I'm trying to think of and, you know, link to a specific post based on its title. So it actually makes the searching process a lot faster for me. I don't think it would work great for everybody because some people might not think that way. But for me, it cuts out a lot of what I would consider false positives because I'll link back to stuff a lot. And so it'll actually pull up, you know, a bunch of posts that I've linked that I've linked to that article from before because the words match up. So anyway, I think it's pretty cool. And I was excited to find it and I've been using it since I found it, which is really just early this morning.
Hey, I got a question. Otto, how come your video seems like you're dialing in from a war zone? I'm just waiting for, what's her name? That lady, the correspondent from CNN, to walk in to start interviewing you.
Where's Geraldo giving away your position?
It's like, we've got motor fire overhead. And just, it goes bananas. Just totally bonkers.
I blame Adobe Flash. Honestly, I have no idea. It's beyond me.
All right,
close off everything. Nothing's running. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So there's my tip. Who has one? Brad, do you have one? Dre, do you have one?
You know, I don't know so much of a tip, but I had recently released by Jonathan Christopher. He put out an ebook, and it's not so douchey either. There, Ryan.
That is true. No, you're right. I will give this the non douchey title.
Yeah.
Now with less douchiness.
Wow. So I've forever related that to this poor guy's ebook.
There's the quote.
Client-oriented WordPress development. And it's a pretty interesting read. I haven't read it completely, but I have skimmed through most of it. And I really like what I'm reading there. He really kind of puts things in a perspective that I think a large audience would benefit from reading and taking some of the best practices and tips that he's got in there. I'm going to post a link, and if you're interested, check it out. Client-oriented WordPress development.
All right, I'll go with the plugin this week. And my plugin, which isn't like a crazy, hugely downloaded plugin, but it's one I've actually been using quite a bit lately for whatever reason, just some of the sites I've been working on. And it's by one of my buddies, Mr. Civil, aka
yes.
Matt Smarts. And the plugin itself is called Show Template. It's simple. You activate it. If you're logged in and you're an admin and you view source on any page in WordPress, it will tell you what template is powering that page. I can't tell you, especially when you get into some really complex sites, kind of tracking down what template you're actually looking at and trying to figure out what template is generating this page can be tricky sometimes. So it's nice. Very simple. I usually turn it on when I'm devving a site, and that way if I ever need to have a question about what template I'm on, I can just view source. It'll tell me the path to the exact PHP file inside my theme that is powering that page. So it's just called Show Template.
I can see that pretty damn useful. And on a side note there, did you know that Civil got his name, and it's actually Levi's, as in the jeans, spelled backwards?
Yes.
I was not aware.
I did know that. That was a nickname or something in high school or something like that.
Yep. Old IRC chats, man. Jeez.
Otto, is there anything you want to mention?
All of my plugins are awesome, and everyone should use them at all times.
What I like is that you said you favorited some of your own plugins, because the first thing I did when testing that out was favorite one of my plugins, and I was like, well, I can't do that. That'll just look weird if I've got...
Oh, of course you can.
That's the first thing. If you submit a plugin to .org and don't immediately give it a 5-star, then something's wrong. Like, I always see these plugins, and there's like zero ratings. I'm like, you didn't even give yourself a 5-star? Come on, man.
It's like not voting for yourself in the election, right? It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's...
They actually made fun of me about the favorites that I posted because I 5-starred all of them. And I'm like, well, of course I did. They're my favorite plugins. I mean, why wouldn't I 5-star them? Right. It makes no sense otherwise.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, no. Well, why wouldn't they be some of your favorite plugins? They're yours.
Oh, absolutely. So, all of my favorites are all 5-starred. And those are the ones I run on every website. But I only actually favorited like 3 or 4 of my own. So those are great.
So really, the question is, what the hell is wrong with the rest of your plugins? That's really
the rest of them are sort of half-assed. They were done by this drunk guy I know.
The truth comes out. That's
who happens to be me when drunk. So yeah, a lot of the ones I've written more as proof of concept, you know, or a joke. Rainbowify is a joke. Things like that. But my Facebook plugin, which actually, I might not be developing very much longer soon. You might find out about that at WordCamp New York City. Hmm. The Twitter plugin, the Google plugin, those are the ones I'd recommend. Everybody should use those in some fashion. Even if you only use parts of it, that's fine. I think everybody needs to make their blog more interconnected, and that's what I always recommend.
I like it.
What's your take on content retention? Versus posting to the world first and not retaining that value locally?
Well, I've always written mine. I mean, I only post on my blog, and then it sort of cross-posts everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then with links back, obviously. I treat Twitter, Facebook, to some extent Google+, as a promotional tool. You know, I have a lot of readers on my RSS feeds. I have a few email subscribers. But I have a ridiculous number of readers that subscribe to my Facebook page.
Mm. Sure.
And I want to make sure that they're always coming from there back to my site to read my content. Not mm-hmm. because I care about the impressions or the hits or anything. I just want them to see it in context that is useful. Now, I try to, you know, because I use RSS myself to read everything. But a very small number of people actually use Google Reader and things like that. So I try to make it look good there just because I want it to look good. But on Facebook, I don't care so much. I just post sort of a snippet and the picture.
Sure.
Maybe the video with the link and the link back. So that way you have to come back and see it in its full glory. So in that respect, I don't like seeing full posts on Google+ because it's annoying to read. And I don't like Google+'s layout and things like that. Twitter, obviously, you can't post a blog post. So, yeah, I tend to treat it more as a promotional tool.
Yeah, like all these people on Facebook following you, I thought we were like special friends, and I was, you know, one of a few of your unique clique, like, you know, your buddies, and now I'm just another peon, another audience member out there. Is that what you're saying?
They're all audience member peons, you know.
That's exactly what he said.
Cool. So as long as we're on with everybody else, it's all good.
I've never understood the whole people friending other people on Facebook, even if they're not actually friends. You know, that's weird to me. That's why I made a page, you know.
Hint, Brad.
I'm just saying.
Oh, do you have a... I don't think I follow your page. I think we're buddies.
We might be.
Even better.
I have two pages on Facebook, one for each blog. So
is AutoPress or Facebook.com AutoPress the correct one?
That's the one for my WordPress blog.
Ooh. I can dig it.
And if you'll notice, almost every post on there is just sort of a cross post from my blog posts. Now I do things, you know, clever things like if you comment on one of those, it gets imported back onto my blogs as a comment. So you'll see it there. So that's kind of cool.
Heck yeah.
Stuff like that.
That is that actually
something I'd like to do more of this year is cause I do a lot of like just pictures and stuff, right? Straight to Twitter or straight to Facebook. But I'd like to kind of centralize that on my blog, which I don't blog nearly as much as I used to, but I want to keep using it. I don't want to just die off. I'd like to kind of convert that, not convert it, but start using it more is to kind of post those pictures to and then kind of aggregate those out to the various networks I don't want them to post to, yeah. You know?
I thought it's totally there.
It's just something I need to set up and start using, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of a pain in the ass to set that up, even though it is called, you know, simple Facebook and simple Twitter, but that's exactly what they do. They sort of help you make your blog sort of cross-post to the world in the most sane way without too many options.
You know, foundationally, I started that with post formats and kind of like just a really simplified, dumbed down blog on Dre.im. And I still just suck at posting even as simple as a link or an image there and then pushing that out. I'm horrible at it. Very challenging to get disciplined at doing that for me.
Well, I mean, look at AutoPress. I think I post once a month, if sure. that. You know, it's rare. But that's because I'm sort of picky, and I always try to make it, you know, really detailed and really useful.
Sure.
And, even on my own personal blog, I post, you know, never. Just, I'm not a blogger. I just like to write things that make blogs. So
that's what I've always said. I'm not a blogger. I make them.
Yeah.
Which, if
I remember when we were writing professional WordPress at the time, and this is it's over 2 years old now. At the time, I think you had one of the only detailed blog posts on the settings API, like the and not just kind of the top level of it, but really like digging down into the settings API and all that it could do. And some of the stuff I'd never even heard of, and I think a lot of people had never heard of it. They didn't realize you could, you know, add fields to settings pages, you know, through the API and stuff. So, you know. Definitely thank you for that, and I definitely owe you some beers next time I see you, because that helped kind of explain it to me and open it up to me so where I could kind of dive into it and write about it and be confident that what I was writing was correct. So
I wrote that blog post.
On your blog, and some of those posts are awesome.
I actually wrote that blog post while I was writing the very first version of the Facebook Connect plugin, and that was because I didn't know how to do it, so I just sort of figured it out and wrote that. And then a few months afterwards, I was in WordCamp Savannah, and I saw that somebody was doing a presentation based entirely on that post, and literally with the same samples from that post. And then I saw three more people doing presentations based on three other posts I wrote. So that was quite entertaining.
Yeah, it's funny because when we were at San Diego, we were all kind of joking. Like, you know, last year, I would say a lot of the WordCamps I was at, I'm always sitting in the dev track, the developer track, you know, the more advanced stuff. I'm a developer, so that's what I like. You know, every presentation mentioned NASN at least once, you know, NASN. And this year, I swear the tide is turning. And everything I'm hearing is auto. Like, even at San Diego, I went to every dev track except for one, and every single one except for one mentioned either a post you had done, a plugin you had done, or something you had done. And I was, it was funny. I was like, I bet Nathan's getting pissed because Otto's all over the place this year. So it's pretty neat.
I was
kind
totally
of seeing
confused
your name out there.
That day. I woke up at, you know, that morning, and my phone started exploding with tweet. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And so it was a Sunday or a Saturday. And like I do on Sunday or Saturday, I went to the bar. Yep. And I'm sitting at the bar, and I put my phone on the table, and it just starts buzzing. And my friends are like, what's going on? And it's like, well, they're kind of talking about me in San Diego right now. And, so there's that.
It was,
so
I think after the third presentation in a row that mentioned you, we all started tweeting about it. And then we were, like, counting at that point. Like, all right, are they going to mention them? Are they going to mention them?
It was hundreds
of tweets. They mentioned them.
Hundreds of tweets. It was hilarious. It was ridiculous.
I actually mentioned it, too, but it wasn't until the after party, which is, you know, it was – completely appropriate as well.
It was hilarious because
let me tell you about Otto.
I didn't even know there was a WordCamp that day. I was totally out of the loop.
Way to go, Otto.
That was funny.
It's like we need a
let me tell you about that guy, Otto.
WordCamp bingo or something. That it's like, well, there's somebody or no. How, no, this would be
buzzword bingo.
No, not even that. It'd be the WP late night version of it, where you just walk around and people are like, what are you caring all that stuff for? It's like, oh, well, every time they say auto, I got to take a shot.
And
by noon, you've got to leave.
That's a dangerous game, my friend. That's a dangerous game.
Nah, dude. I'm out.
I have more sense than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll bring a camera, but you can go at it if you like. Ooh, that'd be painful.
Speaking of Otto's blog and his blog post, if you haven't checked out his tutorial, or I guess probably, I guess, explanation on the theme customizer that's coming in WordPress 3.4. I'm going to link that up in the show notes as well. Awesome stuff. Always good stuff over in your blog.
Yeah, I've gotten more positive response on that than just about any post I've written. Everybody loves that. It looks great. Daryl did an amazing job on that.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. We went through this whole show. We didn't even really talk about WordPress 3.4 at all. So I guess that's not a big deal anymore. I guess that's done and over with, right?
Between now and I don't think it's going to drop between now and our next show next Wednesday. So
well, you know,
or is it, Otto?
I have no comment on that. When we I don't control the release date. I'm just as surprised as anybody.
Ooh.
You know, I think when we originally said, "Hey, let's get Otto on," you know, this week or when we were kind of trying to pick the weeks to bring on guests, this was weeks back. We were like, "Oh, I'm sure 3.4 will be out by then. We'll talk about it."
No, it'll be old news by then.
Yeah, that's just us being naive.
Everybody always asks me, "It's like, oh, you mean you can commit to core?" No, I can't commit to core. I have Nason.
Yes,
I just let him do it.
It's like there's a lever on your desk. It's like, no, I just have this Nason thing, and I pull it back.
It's like the bat phone, the big red phone. Picks up, and Nason's on the other line.
Nason is the equivalent of the WordPress easy button. Good times.
You spell Nason easy?
Hey. I'm not much to look at, but I'm Hey-o.
Nice right.
He must have left the room because he didn't just like completely bombard me now.
This is the part of the show where everyone just runs away and acts like they weren't actually listening to us for an hour and a half.
And there goes our IRC members count. Good times.
Probably smart on their part. I think that pretty much does it, though. We're going to probably kick into the after show for those that are listening on the stream, but I think that's it for the show proper, right? Anything else we're forgetting?
I think we got it. Otto, anything from you, big guy? Anything else you'd like to put out or talk about, bud?
No, I'm good. I need more beer. So that's sort of controlling at this point.
Well, stick around. We're going to drink a little bit more here on the aftertaste. If you want to hang out with us, you're more than welcome to chill out. And we appreciate you coming on board, man. It's great to have you. Always great to hear from you. And I can't wait till the next WordCamp we get to hang out, bud.
All right. Anytime.
Thanks, everybody, for checking us out, and we'll see you next week on WP Late Night. See you later.
Booyah!